Teilzeithelden auf der Spiel 2017. In unserem Interview von Ulysses Spiel. Ross Watson.
Hey Ross, thanks for taking your time. Thanks for taking your time, especially on this crowded day of the convention. So, might you introduce yourself to our readers and listeners?
Absolutely, and thank you, Mark, for inviting me onto your show. My name is Ross Watson. I am a game designer from America. I now work full-time for Ulysses North America, which is part of Ulysses Spiel here in Germany. And I'm working on the Warhammer 40,000 roleplay game, Wrath and Glory. You may have heard of me from before, from games like Torg Eternity, Savage Rifts, Star Wars Edge of the Empire, and all of the old 40K roleplay lines like Dark Heresy, Road Trader, and Deathwatch, and so forth.
Okay, and you did move here to Germany for this,
yes.
I heard, yeah?
Yeah.
What kind of location that you have picked to live in?
Well, I live in Waldems, which is where Ulysses Spiel is located. I'm working in their offices with them directly to produce this game.
Okay, interesting to hear.
Yeah.
You know, there is pen and paper version of Waldems. They released some funny satirotype of background information, like it would be in a role-playing book in the Aventura Shibota for the Dark Eye, the magazine.
Yes.
That was a couple of years ago. There we can maybe. Just a tip for you to check out some
I will
interesting places. Ask him for it.
Yeah, I'll look into that. That
okay.
Sounds cool.
But we're here to, as you said, talk about Warhammer 40K Wrath and Glory.
Yeah.
So, third, one of the big differences between this version, this edition, and latest versions of the game is that now you have a D6 pool type, another D100 type of rolling dice.
Right.
Why is that?
Okay, so I had worked extensively with the percentile system on Dark Heresy, Road Trader, and all those other games. And percentile is really fun. I have no problem with it. It's very enjoyable. But I ran into some difficulties trying to represent the scope of Warhammer 40,000 because it can be very small or it can be very, very big. It can be a guardsman with a las gun. It can be a 40-foot tall titan. And percentile, just for my particular style of game design, I was running into some issues trying to represent what I wanted. And one of the things that really excited me about the chance to come back and do Warhammer 40,000 roleplay again is when I worked with Ulysses Spiel, they said, well, you can create your own system. And I was like, okay, awesome. I mean, everybody wants to do that. So this was my opportunity. And I did some research, I looked into it, and you know, looked into my own heart as a game designer and said, this is what I think we should do. And now we're building it as a D6 dice pool system, which I believe is going to be a much better fit for allowing us to do a very wide variety of experiences in Warhammer 40,000.
There has been a background shift in the Warhammer 40K universe, the Dark Imperium. What can you tell me about it, and why is it so suitable to be the background for a pen and paper role-playing game?
Well, it's really exciting. The Dark Imperium is now the newest shift in storytelling for Warhammer 40,000. One of the Primarchs has returned, so there's a glimmer of hope. But it's also the darkest there's ever been because a warp storm called the Great Rift has torn the galaxy in half. And one side of the Imperium, which is now called the Dark Imperium, is more or less cut off from the Emperor's light. And there's planets that are under threat that have never been threatened before. And the aliens are circling for the kill, and chaos is everywhere. It is a great time for heroes to stand up and protect those worlds from the dangers that this has exposed them to,
mm-hmm.
in the name of the Primarch, in the name of the Emperor. So again, it's very cool, but it's also a great time to see different groups come together because it's time for desperate allies. So the Eldar are coming together, and they have a new group called the Reborn, the Inari, that collects the Harlequins and the Craftwielders and the Dark Eldar all together. And they've been working with the Imperium. So again, it's an interesting time where you see groups you would rarely see on the tabletop now working together, which again is a great setup for a lot of tabletop groups.
Okay, yeah, thank you for that introduction to the Dark Imperium. So we've talked about this earlier, but I ask you again, what kind of, I've heard there will be a core rule book, what kind of other releases can we expect for Warhammer 40K Wrath and Glory?
So our initial wave of products is going to be the core rulebook for Wrath of Glory and a beginner's box. We want to offer people a chance to learn more about the game and be beginner friendly to people who may not know role-playing very well or may not know 40K very well. We want this game to be very accessible to people. So the beginner's box is going to have some pre-generated characters. It's going to come with dice and maps, and it's going to come with a small adventure that will, you know, showcase how the system works, showcase the main themes and plot points of what Warhammer 40,000 is all about. It will bring you right into the story. And if so, the beginner box is also going to lead into a series of a book that is an adventure anthology that we will also have ready, so that if you buy the core rulebook and say, great, now I have the game, what do I do with it? The adventure book is going to be there for you to say, okay, cool, now let's start playing right away. And you can jump right in. So all three of those products work together.
Okay. Cool, thanks. I've heard there's also a big campaign already on the horizon coming up. What can you tell me about this one?
Sure. Well, actually, we've got two campaigns on the horizon. The first one being the Imperium Nihilus, which is all about the Dark Imperium. We will be taking a magnifying glass for this really interesting new development in Warhammer 40K and seeing what life is like on particular worlds there. Okay. We're gonna get to dive deep into parts of that new storyline and get involved with the planets that are under dire threat. And we have some really great guys working with us. We have Black Library novelists like Ben Counter and Aaron Dembski Bowden who are helping us write a lot of this great setting material. The campaign that comes after the Imperium Nihilus is called Doom of the Eldar, and I'm really excited about it because you get to focus on the enigmatic Eldar race, and there's so many cool stories to be told with them, and we haven't really been able to go there and get involved with them very much until now.
Hey, thank you. Especially Doom of the Elders. It already has a very exciting title. Very promising in some way. Back then, in former 40K role-playing game, you could play Space Marines, you could play Rogue Traders, per se, and you also had, every kind of playing the game, had this old rule book, and now it will be a rule book for everything.
Well, when you say everything, that's a really big term. I mean, 40K is full of a lot of stuff. The core book's going to have a lot of the basics to get you started. It won't have literally everything. That would be too much for any book.
Okay.
I mean, a book that had everything for 40K would weigh 50 pounds. But the core book for Wrath and Glory is going to allow you to play a lot of different things. It's going to present a wide variety of different types of characters to play, including Space Marines, including humans, Eldar, Orcs. It's going to allow you to... A group of characters might include something like a Skitarii Ranger next to a Commissar, next to a Space Marine Scout, all going on an adventure together. It's also going to provide a lot of guidance on how to decide with your group what kind of game you want to play and what kinds of characters are appropriate for that particular game. Like if you wanted to say, okay, my friends and I, we want to play a game of, maybe a little bit like Dark Heresy, where we're all really, low power characters, we're all Imperial Guardsmen behind enemy lines.
Yeah.
You can totally do that. And the game will give you guidance and say, okay, so there are certain archetypes that are not appropriate for that type of game. Space Marines, too strong. Inquisitor, too much authority. So that's going to allow you to say, cool, well, that we now know what we're playing. We now know what kind of things we're going to use out of the book to make that happen. At the same time, if you say, we want to play a game that's really strong, we want to be like Deathwatch Space Marines and Inquisitors and a Eldar Warlock or something like that, cool, the book will tell you how to do that. And then let's say our friend Walter here says he wants to play a Imperial Guardsman. Okay, so cool, you can. We will have rules to take that Imperial Guardsman and move him from one level all the way up to where he is now standing side by side on those guys. And the way that works is he will have, a scar on his face from a horrible encounter that he got working for the Inquisition. He will have more skills. He will have more influence. He will be able to carry a power fist in one hand and a melted gun in the other and a cigar in his mouth, and he'll have a bad attitude. And he'll be a great fit for that particular group when he's taken from one to the other. We're going to have a really cool system to make that work. I'm very excited about it. The character creation system is really cool.
Okay, yeah, thank you. It was a nice overview. So it's a lot of common sense, I guess, that a group consisting of one Space Marine, one Orc Warrior, one Common Guardsman from somewhere, it will be quite interesting, let's say.
It's all about context. It's all about context.
Okay.
Some Guardsmen are just common guys with a lasgun. Mm-hmm. Some Guardsmen are heroes, like Colonel Strachan or Sly Marvo.
Yeah.
And those guys can definitely stand on the same level as a Space Marine and do similar types of awesome things. So what we're providing with that idea is we're going to give you mechanics to represent the context being different between those two extremes.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. It was very interesting at all. Thanks for your time. Thanks for answering the question.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure.
Have a great time here at the Red Skull Convention.